morning, everyone. This is Tom. Do we have Matt Kelly or Kay Henderson?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Kay. All right, I assume everyone else is up. I'm sorry for being late. Boy, a huge traffic jam out there this morning. Incredible. Well, this has been another week of major progress on health reform. With a successful vote in the Finance Committee, all five relevant congressional committees have now completed their work. This morning, I'd like to highlight one element of the emerging legislation that deserves more attention. It's what I've said many times before, that this health reform bill that we have is going to be a huge boost for small businesses and the self-employed across America, including more than 65,000 small businesses in Iowa. In fact, I'd go as far as to say that small businesses and the self-employed are the big winners in this health reform bill. Right now, small businesses must pay up to 18% more per worker than large companies for the same health insurance coverage. That's a big reason why 63% of small businesses in Iowa don't provide insurance for their employees. They simply can't afford it. This dismal situation would be changed dramatically by our emerging health reform legislation. For starters, the health reform will create competition. Right now, just two insurers control 80% of the market in Iowa. In the reform system, small businesses will be able to purchase health insurance through these exchanges, through an exchange. That will allow them to choose among many plans that provide better coverage at lower costs than they can find in the current small group market. Many small businesses that provide health insurance will receive a tax credit of up to 50% of what they pay to cover their employees. In addition, our legislation will stop health insurance companies from denying coverage based on pre-existing conditions or increasing premium rates based on health status, gender, or industry. And the bill will provide grants to help small businesses provide wellness programs for their employees. Of course, health reform will be especially good news for tens of thousands of farmers across Iowa who currently have very limited and expensive health insurance options. One-third of Iowa farmers purchase health insurance directly from an insurance company, more than three times the national average. This means they pay higher premiums and lack secure coverage. In the reform system, farmers will be able to purchase insurance again on the exchange. That will mean increased choices, lower premiums, and more secure coverage. This weekend, I'll have a number of public events in Iowa focusing on health reform's benefits for small businesses. On Friday at 2, I'll be at in Des Moines at the Highland Park Hardware. At noon on Saturday, I'll be at Waterloo at Alpha Express Incorporated. And at 2 p.m. Saturday, I'll be in Cedar Rapids at a location to be determined. As always, all of you are welcome to attend. With that, I'll open it with Kay Henderson.
Senator, are you sure that a public option will be in the final package, given the negotiations that are ongoing behind the scenes?
I am confident that a public option will be in that final package. It will have to be in the final package if, in fact, we're going to increase competition and give people more choices, and especially if we're going to have a mandate that everyone has to buy insurance, then certainly it would be, I think, almost bordering on the unconscionable to mandate that you have to buy insurance from a private company. At least then, by having a public option out there, people at least have the choice of either a private or a public option. And so that's why it's going to be necessary to have the public option, because I'm sure that we'll have that individual mandate in there also. Brad Ehrlich.
Do you really believe that the that government health care really will force private companies to be competitive, or is it going to be more like the Postal Service competing with other private mail carriers?
No, I think public option will tend to keep prices down because there won't be the overhead, there won't be the huge corporate payments to high-priced executives, or there won't be these huge fancy buildings, there won't be the profit motive. So all of those will tend to keep the public option at a lower cost, and that will tend to bring other private insurance companies more into competition with it. Plus the exchanges themselves will promote lower costs because you won't have two insurance companies controlling 80% of the market like they do in Iowa. You'll have a lot more in there competing. Christina Cripps.
Good morning. I was just wondering if you had an updated time frame for when all of this is going to happen.
Well,
healthcare reform. Sorry.
Well, the only update I can give you is that Senator Reid and Senator Baucus, Senator Dodd, who's my representative from our committee, and White House people started meeting yesterday. I assume they're meeting again today. I don't know about tomorrow. I know we're not in session tomorrow. But then next week, we hope that by the end of next week, we'll have the bill put together, ready to go on the floor probably the following week. So maybe the week after next, we'll be on the Senate floor with it. And then it'll be open for amendment. The first hurdle, of course, is getting 60 votes to proceed to the bill. The Republicans will filibuster that, so we have to have 60 votes to move ahead. I believe we'll have that. And then we'll just open it up for amendments on the floor and see what happens after that.
Thank you.
Ed Tibbetts.
Senator, given Senator Snowe's centrality to this, I'm wondering how much wiggle room you think that you have to move off what was approved in the Finance Committee. Do you feel like you're somewhat constrained, or do you feel like you have more room to maneuver in writing up what's going to go to the floor?
Well, Ed, I think we have quite a bit of room to maneuver. Don't forget the HELP Committee's bill came out in July, and sort of like the forgotten little brother or whatever it is. Somebody just it got kind of lost in all this tumult in the Finance Committee. But we have a bill that is broadly supported among Democrats, broadly supported. And as I said, as I keep pointing out, we accepted 161 Republican amendments, for crying out loud, on our bill. Our bill sets up a lot of the structures for this. We do a lot on our bill on prevention and wellness programs that I've emphasized so much, and the exchanges. There's a lot in our bill that's going to be put in with the finance bill. Keep in mind, really, the Finance Committee, really, their jurisdiction is over Medicare and Medicaid and raising revenues. And our jurisdiction is over mostly the structure, which is very important. So a lot of room for maneuvering here on putting together this final package.
If I may follow up, in terms of the price tag, obviously it was scored differently. Do you think that the price tag is going to have to stay closer to what Finance reported or what your committee did?
Well, that's to be determined. We don't know whether it'll be closer to ours or closer to Finance. Split the difference, maybe, and come out with that. But then it's going to have to be adjusted later on, also. And then we're going to have to go to conference with the House. And the House, as you know, raises revenues from outside the health care system, which I think, quite frankly, makes sense.
And if I just can have one other follow-up, do you think that by splitting the difference, by moving the price tag too much farther north, that you'll be able to retain Senator Snowe's vote?
Well, again, that remains to be seen, too, doesn't it? But keep in mind that the vote that's necessary is a vote for a cloture vote. It's a vote to end debate. In other words, we anticipate that Republicans will filibuster this, and they may even filibuster it by amendment. And that's another thing to keep watch out of. If when we bring this bill on the floor, if Republicans offer an amendment and then proceed to debate that one amendment for, like, say, 3 days before there's a vote, and then they bring up another amendment and debate that amendment for 3 or 4 days, well, then it's what's called filibuster by amendment. And if that continues on too long, we're going to have a vote on cloture to end debate and get a final vote on the bill. That will be the key vote right there. And that's where we're going to need to have 60 votes. I'm confident that we'll have it with or without Senator Snow.
Thanks.
See that? Ron Bach?
I really don't have anything for you this morning, Senator. Thank you.
All right, Ron. Doug Burns?
Yes, Senator. One of the concerns with some of our hospitals around here is that longstanding issue with Medicare reimbursement and how Iowa ranks low with that. At St. Anthony Hospital here, about 60% of the revenue is from Medicare. Do you have any thoughts on how reform might affect that? That's really the number one concern of the hospital administration here.
Well, as you've pointed out, and as we point out many times, Doug, you know, that Iowa provides some of the highest quality care in the country, yet we're reimbursed at a level of 48 out of 50 states. We're right at the bottom. Both Senator Grassley and Representative Braley have addressed this issue in both of the committees that are responsible for Medicare in the House and the Senate, and we're going to fight to make sure these measures are included in the final bills and to fix this long-standing inequity in payment due to geography. It's way overdue, and that's one of the things that will be in this bill. Dan Skelton. Dan? How about Lynn Campbell?
Good morning, Senator. You talked a little bit about Senator Snow in particular, but can you just tell us in general, I mean, how interested are you in trying to still get Republican votes for this legislation?
The most important thing to do is to try to do what's right. In other words, let's keep in mind, why are we having health care reform? Why are we doing this? Are we doing it to help the health insurance industry, or are we doing it to help people? You know, that's where I think we have to start from. If we're doing it to help people, to have better, more affordable health care, better quality, more coverage, and cover everyone in this country and get the uninsured covered, well, then it seems to me we have to do what we believe is right and what is the correct course of action. And sure, we're always willing to deal and to make agreements and to work in a collaborative manner. We did that on our bill. As I said, when we had our bill in committee, we adopted 161 Republican amendments. And yet, every Republican still voted against it. Sort of like what the Republicans are saying, we want it all our way or we won't vote for anything. Well, we've been accommodating. We've compromised. We've reached compromises, but they still say they're going to vote against it. So I think we have to proceed in the same manner that we proceeded before. We propose what we think is good legislation and what will be best for health reform. We open it for amendments. If Republicans want to offer amendments that are well-intentioned and not meant just to delay or to stop the bill, we'll consider those and we'll vote on them. And some may win, as they did in our committee. I think that's the way to proper way to look at it.
Are you getting a lot of pressure from the president for all Democrats to stick together on this bill and get this bill to his desk?
No, I haven't heard from the president. I think the White House is just starting to get involved right now. And I think Republicans ought to probably take a lesson from some of the former senators and former Republicans who have been around here. Howard Baker, former Senator Baker, former Senator Dole signed on to a bill like this. Former Senator Bill Frist, who was Republican leader, said I would end up voting for the bill. As leader, I'd take heat for it, but that's what leadership is all about. And Bob Dole said he blames partisanship for opposition reform. He said, quote, sometimes people fight you just to fight you. Former Secretary of Health and Human Services Tommy Thompson in the Bush administration said that the bill is another important step towards achieving the goal of health care reform this year. And he urges its quick adoption. Mayor Bloomberg of New York, Governor Schwarzenegger, Dr. Louis Sullivan, Secretary of Health and Human Services under President George H.W. Bush. All of them, all former Republicans, saying that, you know, let's get on with it. So I hope that Senator McConnell and some of the Republicans around here will listen to listen to them.